The Podcast Studios is the home of Headstuff Podcasts. It's where lots of our shows are recorded and where we work on production, promotion, video, live shows, and lots more. In our studios here in Dublin City Centre, we work with everyone from international brands to government organisations, charities to arts groups, entrepreneurs to hobbyists. So if you'd like us to help tell your story in a creative, professional and engaging way, you can find out more at thepodcaststudios.ie.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
My name is Keane and Rebecca Glasscock walked so spice could trot.
My name is Erin and the girls are girling.
Yes, they are. You're listening to Sissy That Pod, your favourite RuPaul's Reaction Drag Race podcast. And today we are celebrating the 200th episode of RuPaul's Drag Race US with the Crystal Ball. And we're joined by the super fun improviser and comedian Ben Raisi.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite Drag Race moment of those 200 episodes?
Oh, God. Well, yes. And you'd think that I'd have something in mind before we started. What's your favorite moment? Well, come back to me.
It's hard for me to beat, I think, when I look back, the emotion I felt when I saw Sasha Velour's rose petal fall. I just felt I was on the, I was like, this is everything. I'm like clued in to what's the most important thing in the world right now. This is art. No one can beat this. I just felt alive.
Well, then I'll say conversely, when all those butterflies, when all those poor butterflies died.
You were like,
yeah. No, I mean, that was the worst moment, but it was in some ways my favorite in that it was so incredibly tragic. No, I don't like that those butterflies died. Yeah.
Right, well, we'll let you, we'll come back to you at the end of the episode and see if you've thought of one. But for now,
okay.
Let's welcome to Sissy That Pod, Ben Raisi. Ben Raisi, thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of Sissy That Pod to discuss the Crystal Ball. How do you find this season? And when you look back on the 15 years of the show, do you have any favorite moments?
Oh, I mean,
be funny if he was like, no, I don't really like Drag Race.
I don't know why I still watch it.
You say that though, but like, I feel like from like 10 or 11 to now, it's just like a blur. Like, I don't remember, it hasn't registered. Whereas, like, I guess I started watching it, the first season I watched live was season four, season five. And so I was like catching up with the first seasons and then watching, like, you know, Rolaska Talks and Alyssa versus Coco Montrese happened live, and I guess like for favorite moments, like that era of that, like Bianca and then up to like Bob the Drag Queen and all of that drama, that's like peak drag references. Like that's where all, you know, the lingo, the tongue pops, the phrases, vernacular will come from. So
yeah, actually the tongue pop has kind of been retired now. We don't see the tongue pop.
Yeah, no, I feel like it was like Alaska who then like carried it on way after, like when All Stars, the second All Stars came around again. But yeah, yeah, the queens have lost it. It's not a reference, but it's like in that earlier episode a few episodes ago where they had all the references and I can't remember who it was, didn't know like what rigor mortis was, and then
Aura,
just missing all the references. Like, you need to know your history.
Is there any Drag Race vernacular that you use on a day-to-day basis?
Oh,
or even week to week, or like what pops up in your personal mouth culture?
Oh, like, do I have something on my face?
That's when you can slip in and people won't notice that it's clearly a reference. Yeah. It's just an oversight.
I'll say that when I'm putting on my makeup to my straight boyfriend and he doesn't know what I'm referencing. I think he thinks that I made that up.
That's like, oh, you're so funny, Aaron. That's so original. Yeah, there's loads. I mean, like, you look in my prepay phone ringing, like Bob in that moment with the white party.
I quite like the girls are girling.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah. I definitely feel I'll use that.
Girls who girl, girl. The girls who girl and gorns.
Let's get into this 200th episode, so the crystal ball, because actually for 40 minutes it's pretty jam-packed, more so than the normal 40 minute episode. So we kick off with a mini challenge sponsored by Pretty Little Thing. It's like a Love Island Drag Race crossover, and they have to basically photobomb past iconic moments of Drag Race. It was very interesting to see which moments they've chosen as the iconic ones. Like, so Selena did the Ganges entrance, and Natra did Willow's talent show. Malaysia did Miss Vanjie's exit. Spice did the Gaga entrance. Lux did Vivacious and Ornacia jumping into the pool. Mistress was doing, I can't read my own writing here. I remember her though, but I can't remember what she was doing. We'll come back to that one. Marsha did Jinx's crowning moment. Oh yeah, Mistress, sorry, did, Morgan McMichael's shooting the ping pong ball to Rue from All-Stars 3, which is a moment I had entirely forgotten. Lucy did Serena Cha-Cha jumping into the water tank, and then Sasha did Rue at the Despy Awards, because
I know why you wouldn't. I don't remember that being an iconic moment. Can I just say, this is the best that Marsha has ever looked. I loved Marsha's bald look.
Bald look. It was
very funny.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of bald robot. I think this whole episode was great for Marsha.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
No?
Okay. We'll get back to it. Okay. Yeah, we'll get to it.
I think she's getting better and better. Like, you can see her progression throughout. Like,
that's fair, yeah. Yeah. I also, like, Selena Estudi's look in the mini challenge. I want to know what she thinks she looks like in different moments. Because it's always a little unclear what the vision is, but the look on her face was so funny. And I know, for lack of a better term, because this term is problematic, but very, very much felt like that look was a spirit animal look for myself. Just the giant look.
Okay.
Really just saying for the both of your benefit.
Yeah. Do any of these photobomb moments feel like they'll ever become a classic Drag Race moment to you, Ben?
No. No. Anitra jumping in, that's like a funny, smart way of like photobombing. I think what stood out for me was like Malaysia just like standing to the side and kind of putting her tongue out, like not really photobombing in any way. It was like, do you understand like the concept here? Like what you're supposed to be doing? Like Mistress getting down on the floor, like, yeah, we get it. Like you're like part of the picture. Whereas some of them just, I feel like, weren't thinking as imaginatively as they could have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of them I kind of felt there was only really one way. Like Serena Cha-Cha, which obviously I love Serena Cha-Cha, great to see her. She's let's continue that problematic saying. She's the spirit animal of the podcast. Maybe I should say mascot for the Native American community.
Yeah.
We rob their culture any further. But there was only really one thing you could do, which is like look up her dress. Like that's the only really thing you can do at that point. You know, so they weren't the best moments, I think, to photobomb.
But also, if they chose them themselves, they obviously knew what they were going for. Or even if they were chosen for, like, there's a very clear choice to be made. So you might as well do the choice that's...
Yeah.
I think they must have been made. Like, I can't imagine Mistress was standing there going,
I can't wait
to do Morgan McMichael shooting a ping pong ball.
The minute I get on that show...
I think they were just choosing for diverse positions.
So then Rue, who is wearing a gorgeous flower power shirt, I thought this was the most cash I think I've possibly ever seen Rue in the workroom, tells them all that it's going to be a crystal ball. Lucy nodding furiously, yes.
Oh my god.
Yes, wide-eyed nodding. Yes, I can't wait to be good at this. What do I need to do, teacher? Now, I got up this morning, I saw the name of the episode, it was going to be The Crystal Ball. I kind of made myself some tea to get ready. And I started thinking, what are the categories going to be for a crystal ball? So this was my working draft before I found out what it was going to be. So I was like, category one, crystal labeja, a throwback to old school pageant drag, was category one. Category two, Billy Crystal realness, which is where you get... Butch King realness.
I love that.
While you're presenting an award show. And then my third one was going to be Crystal Chandelier Eleganza Extravaganza, which I guess is kind of the same thing as Crystallized Eleganza.
Sure.
But I'm kind of raging. Actually, these are probably better than that, but I still want that Billy Crystal alternative universe to come true.
I do too. You could do a Western look.
A Night of a Thousand Billy Crystals is what would have to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that. Well, I think that just means that we need to do that. We need to have a Night of a Thousand. Super relevant personality and comedian, Billy Crystal.
Yeah. I mean, from an Irish point of view, you could have had Waterford Crystal. You could have had Crystal Swing. Like, they're all like touchstones we could have had, but I knew they weren't going to go there. But no, the actual categories were reinterpretation of Rue's racing outfit look, which I thought was fun. Yeah. I loved this one, which was a throwback to one of the other Eleganzas from the other balls. Yeah. I love when they reference themselves, which was very fun. And then the crystallized Eleganza. So before we get into any of that, there was a walkthrough from Rue, and there was a really touching moment from Anitra. Which I think, you know, let's open the floor if anyone has anything to say on
yeah them. I was saying before we started recording to Kian that I watched the episode twice this morning and cried equal amounts of times. Mm-hmm. Or an equal amount both time watching that. Like, that's one of the most I don't have the best grasp on the English language this morning, so I'll just say, like, heart-wrenching moments. Just the, like, the trauma from having acceptance and then having that snatched away, and how that would so shape your relationships with other people that you cared about or trusted. And yeah, so sad.
And the way it was filmed as well, with that static camera on them and the talking head, like, it lingered for a while, because normally they're heavily cut back between different scenes and stuff, and it just really helped convey the sort of emotional turmoil that they're going in, reliving this moment, and the trauma and the grief that's all associated with it as well. Was really nice. And in a fresh take on things, thank God for the dad who saves the day, because that is not something that happens in gay experiences.
I would bring a bit of levity. I was thinking, like, God, if you were a dad that had felt like he had fucked up his relationship with his son, and then gets this opportunity and is like, yes, okay, I'm going to do this right this time. I'm going to get him a sewing machine. Oh, I'm going to start crying again. But that was so sweet.
I'm really backing Anitra, like, absolutely love them. And in no way, like, you know how some people come off as very conceited, or they have this sort of performance, or they have this shtick,
hyper insecurity that makes them mean.
Yeah, like, Anitra just really real, like, thoroughly, like, understand who they are as a person. And so to see that, it feels even more heart-wrenching, because they're really genuine.
Yeah.
I will also say, something that took me out of that moment was, like, how is Selena, like, what is the base for their makeup? It's like the wet, like, brown chemical peel around the hair, and then they, like, push their face in some powdered donuts. Like, it was just so, it really took away from the moment. Like, I think they're... And I was like, she has no features, because, like, it's all been taken away by the white powder.
Yeah.
It was just very distracting.
I think it's baking powder. So you put on, like, a bunch of really dark contour, and then the baking powder, like,
Just that, of all the moments to have, like, being in that in-between moment, taking away from the heartfelt moment that we all witnessed.
Yes.
But I feel that's the iconic part of the mirror moments, is, like, they share these moments and they've got, like, half an eye drawn.
Well, it's recreating, like, the image of the sad clown, right? Like, the clown crying into the mirror, putting on their makeup. Mm. Also, did you guys notice that during that moment, like typically during those moments, the whole workroom is kind of listening, or it's a bit quiet. But everyone was talking. Like, they had to, like, mix down the outside sound, so it really was a moment in between Selena and Anitra.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of Kitty's Got Claws and Charity Case in UK, where like Kitty just kind of sat her down and had an interview about her AIDS diagnosis and stuff like that. It was just kind of totally separate to everybody else. Yeah. All
right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and I guess that also added to the emotion of it, because it didn't feel like, you know, producers had gone, right, you're going to talk about this thing. Someone's going to ask a very obviously pointed question about like a gay issue, queer issue.
Yeah.
And,
you
know, we're going to talk about it and discuss. It was a real organic moment.
And also to discuss something that we discussed about Dracula, Erin, is like, if it was in the room, you could imagine the other queens would have ran over and like hugged her in the middle of the story and like tried to almost kind of like comfort her by silencing her almost. But like, I think Selena was very good to like give her her space, let her finish, and then, you know, offer up condolences that
way. No, it was very sweet. And it just something I love about this, just to point out something I love about this show, is that like so much of the show is so stupid and silly, and I think it really makes these moments feel more real, because it's not, we don't get like the sweeping music and all that. That was a sentence just about Drag Race being a good show. So welcome to the podcast.
Oh yeah, exactly. And it's a quick
there's
pivot.
This little show.
We hear a heart-wrenching story about a broken family, and 3 minutes later, RuPaul's dancing about cake and candy up on that stage.
Yeah, what did you guys think about this?
I think you're playing very hard and fast with the word dancing there.
Yeah, the way Buzz Lightyear doesn't fly, he falls with style. RuPaul doesn't dance, he walks with style.
Yeah. It does feel a bit like he's afraid of falling over. Like, that's the energy that I'm getting. Like, his heels, like, he goes, that hip goes, and then that's him done.
Oh, God.
I still appreciate the effort he puts 100%, in to pushing his pop career.
That definitely wasn't a cake. That definitely was boxes. Covered in glitter. They could have made a cake.
He could have cut the cake, but no.
Yeah. And then had all those boys like have like a cake fight.
Well, I was hoping Candy Muse or Candy Ho would come on and push the cake on, because all we saw was cake. We didn't see any candy.
Follow up question: what monster eats candy and cake? Like, when have you ever gotten a slice of cake and been like, oh,
I have some Skittles.
Yeah. And does candy and cake mean anything? Is it like, it's like watermelon sugar?
Yeah, like not? It does feel euphemistic.
Yeah, I mean, like cake, like ass candy, is that like a candy cake?
Well, like you'd call an ass cake.
Yeah.
You know, cake, your cakes.
Okay. Yeah, cake.
Okay.
The expression ass cake, but weird the way I said it there. And then I think of like Gemma Collins, you ain't ever going to get this candy. So like, I feel like they're both kind of euphemisms for sex, probably.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, let's get into the cake and candy of this week's episode, which is the runway. Three categories, which we already discussed. You know, I think we got a lot of time, but we still didn't get enough time with each of the queens and the different categories. But actually, some really good looks here. So let's go through them queen by queen and discuss the three looks that each queen had. The first queen up was Mistress.
So Mistress doing Rue's classic red and white look with not screen printed on, but... But this is the moment in the podcast where you talk about how bad I am at describing outfits.
Still better than me.
Yeah. And because there are so many looks, I'm not going to do the whole thing with all the thing, but she has not pasted on, but whatever, like different sayings from other big queens on the show. I think this looks great. I think she looks amazing.
Yeah, I loved this. And even the concept as well. And there's something like, you know, and it kind of comes up at the end as well, like the bigger queens often get, you know, don't get over as appreciated in these categories. And I think like as a way for her to walk out here with the words of all the big queens who came before her, I thought was a really like clever nod.
Yeah, she's really smart.
She's great. Yeah, she looks great. And then her second look for the, what was this category called, Kian?
It was called My Favorite Ball, but she chose the ball ball.
The ball ball, yeah. And this is her inflatable beach ball gimp suit. long, beautiful anal bead thing coming off
ponytail,
of her
ponytail.
Yeah.
And I feel like we, like, this has been done in like other iterations before, like Latrice, something similar. And, you know, we've seen, you know, the ball, long ponytail. But this, and I know that this wasn't done for the, like, challenge of, like, making their own thing. But, like, this is giving me high couture, Lee Bowery, like, I made this myself energy. I just think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I love it too.
It's amazing. Yeah. And it's like gorgeous and funny at the same time. Just the beach balls on the boobs. They're paying a lot of attention to the queen's dealings with their breasts this season for some reason. Because sometimes we're seeing them punched or cut up or whatever. And I just love how funny and great this is. It seems like self-referential in a drag way. Just these giant beach balls for boobs. It's great.
And it's a great balance between, like, it is really colorful with loads of stripes, but it's not too garish, whatever. She finds a really good balance with it. So, yeah. This is top
colors tier. Are great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then her final look for the crystallized eleganza, it's just a beautiful pageant dress, dripping crystal beads off of her shoulders, some embellishment around the chest and a pretty crystal choker, hair swept up. It's pretty. I get the feeling that it was more striking in the room. I don't think that we're getting how sparkly it was on camera, because there's like a lot of shimmer to her dress, because they were all like blown away when she walked out. And I think it looks pretty, but I wasn't like gobsmacked the way they were.
Yeah. It looks like a dress, really. Like, I mean, it's not a bodysuit, you know, it's elevated to the next level of making an outfit, but there were definitely better versions of dresses that were made.
Mm-hmm. I do really like it, though. Like, I do think the detail is there. It's just not knocking you over the head. Like, the fact that she bejeweled the hem at the bottom, I think, is a really good touch. And, like, the stoning around the breast is nice and stands out, but it there's not too much of it. Like, there is probably a lot of it that is just the same color, but actually, I don't mind it. Like, this...
I think it's really pretty. I think her looks are so good. We're, like, spoiled by her a bit. I also love... This is another moment where she, like, a big-bodied queen wearing a mermaid-cut gown, which is traditionally, like, not what you'd wear as a bigger woman, because it really just highlights your hips, but it looks so great and I feel so empowered by it. She really is so great with fashion and showing off her body. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Next, let's talk about Spice and Spice's look for the race look.
So it was a take on Ru's red racing jumpsuit. But it was instead it was like tall red and white socks with the checker plate heels, and then like a long kind of coat dress, which was tied with a belt, and then a cardboard flag that says Diggling, and then a checker plate visor.
Yeah, I like the vinyl boots. I think there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it didn't hit home for me. I mean, I like the boots. I like the checker flag heel and sole, something about it. I don't know if it's like the material. It looks a bit like it was bought from a costume.
Yeah, shop. It looks a little too, unfortunately, Pretty Little Thing.
Yeah,
like I think it's successful by way of I feel that's clearly a Spice interpretation of another look, and it's successful that way, but I still feel the main thing she's trying to sell is look how skinny I am, and that's it.
So for my favorite ball, she has craft like puff balls into a cutout top and skirt and little platform boots and a puff ball anal bead extensions in her hair. It's all purple and black. It's really crafty, but I really liked this personally.
I think it was her best. Like the cutouts, I think, are very like current. Like the cutouts through the tights and everything. And the hair is very much like hair that you only ever see on a doll.
Consistently doll looks.
Yeah, but like it's not reading as ball.
No,
to me as. Yeah. Like mistress.
No, mm-hmm. Exactly. And like, that's like those furry things. I mean, they are technically sphere. Would I call them a ball?
That's really funny. Tina's really high standards for what is a ball and what is not a ball. Or what are balls and what aren't balls. Yeah, you know, all of her looks remind me of, like, when I had Barbies when I was a kid, like, you were buying Barbie outfits. There were, like, casual day outfits, and then there were, like, event outfits, like ball gowns and stuff. And then there were mostly, like, going out outfits. So yeah. all of her looks remind me of just dolls going out on the town, like, with their girls. Like, so much of the stuff she does reminds me of, like, when I started trying to flirt with boys, and, like, literally just like, oh, boys, like, when you laugh at their jokes, and then going, when I was in the fourth grade, I decided that I would have a new laugh that went a little like,
yeah.
And everything she does just reminds me of that. It makes me cringe.
I love the parcel story from Erin's school years. We get one every episode, and I love it. Last week was your embracing of Shakira as a mating call.
Oh,
now
yeah,
it's the
yeah.
new laugh.
Yeah. can
we get the laugh again? The microphone doesn't pick it up somehow. Can you hear it?
It's Can you just, really not hear it?
No. The microphone doesn't pick it up. It's too high for modern technology.
Great. Imagine a sexy dolphin.
Okay.
That's, yeah. Kind of like that. That's so funny. The mic's not picking it up.
Yeah, as soon as you did that, like, the microphone jumped to somebody else.
The microphone's like, I will not respect yourself, Erin. Stop. And then her crystallized ball look looks very it looks like a Debs or a prom look to me, with a cross halter top and a tied up along the thighs, shimmery skirt.
It's risque for prom, no? Like, to have the midriff out of prom, you wouldn't have that, would you, typically?
No, I don't know. I mean, in Southern California, I guess, okay. I went to a pretty, yeah, Southern California in the 2000s.
That slit goes all the way up as well.
I mean, the slit wouldn't have been...
No.
Wouldn't have been the thing.
And I think it's generous calling it a slit when it's actually just the gap together. Between it's two pieces yeah. of fabric.
I suppose what it literally is two rectangular pieces of fabric just tied together on the sides. but you know, it's good for what she's going for. Like, what she always achieves what she's going for. It's just the vision yeah. isn't as exciting.
Well, would you say
we
this is
be.
Dripping in diamonds?
No.
It's shiny.
It's shiny.
That's it. Yeah.
So on to Lux. Lux is doing a reinterpretation of Rue's pink drag race look with a very cropped jacket with, like, a bralette underneath, mini skirt, big white belt, and long platform boots. Oh, let me move this so you can see the full outfit. Boots.
That's one of the most iconic jumpsuits, I think, that pink one, because that's like the season yeah. 5, 6, 7, whatever jumpsuit.
Yeah.
So I loved the fact that she referenced this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it looks great and it looks very luxe.
Yeah, definitely. So I like this
one. Yeah, she has really great taste and knows how to put an outfit together. Mm-hmm. It is yes. a shame that her attitude around it.
Yeah,
it was good. I like the second look was the hair look, right? I think I liked that one more, in the hair ball with the kind of, like, ponies sticking out of her head with the black. Was it
yeah.
almost conically woven bra, big long mm-hmm. black leather gloves, and then a corset, and then I guess a dress made of hair. I think the hair ball is always a weird one to choose, even though she makes this work, because I just think hair as clothing just doesn't work.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, it's very serial killer inspired, the whole idea of it.
Yeah. Compared to, who was the other one who did, was it Malaysia who
yeah.
did the hair? Because I think we saw her before this, didn't we? And I immediately was like, this is how you do a hairball. Like, this is how you do this is a better interpretation of how to do it. Like the big hair piece and following down like as a skirt, whatever. Yeah, it's great. I think it looks great.
Finally, for the crystal ball, she's dressed as like a crystal fairy. It's very like Midsummer Night's Dream. Everything looks almost like it's crystallized ice. And she's wearing like a little bodysuit and has these beautiful attached crystal wings. And is there a headpiece or is that the wing behind her?
I think it's a headpiece.
Okay, cool. Mm. Yeah, and then crystal heels.
I always have such an issue with when queens wear wings. Like if they don't sit properly and they like flap backwards and they don't create the... Yeah. Proper like vision of what we want, they sort of flap back because they haven't been engineered to sit properly. And I think that happened here as well. And obviously, you know, maybe real life and the three-dimensional movement of it, you'd get more of it. But yeah,
it was an ambitious idea.
Yeah. I can't deny that. Yeah,
she did a good job. But I think when like she couldn't really move in it, and she chose that, and there's nothing from the waist down, which I think is seems like a bit of an afterthought. She must have run out of time. So, like, I don't think she should have been in the top like she thinks she was. Like, at Nantucket, she's pretty pressed because she's like, well, I fully believe I should have been in the top. I think this is very good. But I think based on what else is there, I think, like, she deserved to be safe. Not low or anything like that. Like, it still pretty ambitious.
What was it she said? It was like, I didn't embellish something. I am the embellishment. Yeah.
Which is funny because embellishment can also mean lie.
Yeah.
You know? So... I am the lie. Yeah.
It was a bit of a cell phone, actually, really, in reality. Wasn't it?
I thought, I don't know if you remember, but when she first came out on the runway and struck a pose, which seemed very like she was entering a play as a fairy, but the look on her face was so funny to me. Like it didn't look totally like she was owning it. It was funny.
Because she kind of has that fashion stink face almost. It kind of doesn't really go with fairy pixie girl.
Fashion stink face.
Marsha was next in my notes. This wasn't a direct reference to RuPaul, I don't think. Was it? She just kind of kept saying Rainbow Road.
I think it's just a pastel interpretation of a racer outfit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's pastel, pastel pink and yellow and orange. And she's got lots of thigh-high white boots on this runway. But she's got light thigh-high white boots, pink and blue earrings. Yeah, she's wearing pastel.
I'm kind of done with queens walking around with a helmet under their arm.
Yeah. That's such a funny thing. Does that happen so frequently?
It does. At this rate, it happens at least once, if not twice a season. Even when there isn't a runway, like isn't
or a head or a like.
I feel like sometimes the queens do it. Like I'm pretty sure Gigi Good had a helmet in every.
Yes.
Okay. Pixie Polite did one recently. There was one on Canada versus the World. It's like wear something that's kind of leathery and put a helmet under your arm and it's a racer look.
Yeah.
My favorite ball. She's doing bag ball, and she's dressed like a milkmaid. And then on to the next. Look.
do you hate this one?
I hate it. I don't know what my deal is with Marsha because I really like her and I think she's really funny and super talented, but I don't think I get her drag persona.
I liked this one more so because I kind of felt a different character than the basically Marsha Brady. I felt like this is Amish Marsha Brady, do you know?
Okay.
She's the milkmaid. She is like going out to do the weekly chores, but she's also kind of fashionable. And I think it's a very well, and I guess she didn't make it, or maybe she did, but I think it's a very well made garment. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen anyone do that, that outfit.
I'm thinking of an iconic, this is a niche reference now, iconic performance from Poland in the Eurovision, which was just a lot of very enthusiastic milking, milkmaids churning butter on stage during a performance.
Yes, yeah,
that's what I'm getting from this. So yeah, but I really loved look three, her crystallized eleganza. I thought this was really good.
Yeah, so she's doing a she described it as a dreamy stripper look, but she's got like a Marie Antoinette wig, and then she's dripping with pearls, and then has a I forget what she called it, but like a
brooch beginter.
Oh, beginter. Yeah. What does that mean?
I think it means what it means.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So it's a little pussy adornment. Pussy pin.
It's a better pussy decoration than the Cheetos that Selena was giving us a few weeks ago.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. This is my favorite pussy decoration of the season, so I do have to say. Yes.
There's barely even a handful of Cheetos as well. Yeah. It was.
Oh, it looked like bloodworms, as I said on the. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's really pretty. Maybe my issue is that like everything just looks so slight, but. I don't know if that's just because she's small.
But unlike Spice, I feel like she's given us a character, whoever this lady is. Like, she's kind of Marie Antoinette, yeah. But like a Street Fighter version of Marie Antoinette, who said, let them eat cake and candy. But she, whereas like, Spice is like literally just a thin doll. And I like that there's these like kind of pearlescent diamonds that are coming from her neck that are kind of draping over her shoulders and stuff like that. Like, I just feel
they're diamonds, they're not pearls, but they're like, yeah, it's like strung like they're pearls, which is really clever, actually. Like, all right, now it's my favorite look. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
Good. It's the pussy brooch, right? That did it for you, the pussy over the edge. Speaking of the Cheetos, Selena is next. Her first look is this like baby blue and white, I guess tracksuit jumpsuit, which is
giving like
baggy.
90s baggy hip hop suit with platform
like latex
heels,
stripes going through it as well, and big hoops. Yeah,
yeah, I like it. I think, I mean, I don't know how race. Well, no, I like it. I feel like it's like the racer outfit put through her Southern California filter.
Yeah, if Missy Elliott was to wear a racing outfit,
yes,
that's what she
yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. And then next we had she's doing Moneyball for her favorite ball look, and she has food stamps with her own face on them, and she is trying to create a palm tree silhouette, but it's not given a lot of shape, or it's the colors, it's green and yellow and like a burnt orange color. And
like, it's an oddly proportioned palm tree because it has a massive trunk and then about three leaves, like three branches of it. So it's like a withering thing. Like, this is kind of supposed to be a commentary on benefits and like how she got benefits when she was younger. But like, I only got that in like the last second of her voiceover of this look. And she was like, you know, I used to be on the government cheddar and I'm not ashamed of it, blah, blah, blah. And then like, we're just cut off. So like, I guess I appreciate that. But Rue's kind of said on the show, don't do another money look again because it's been done so many times and it's been done so well. It's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah,
that's it. Like there's a few like that. Raja nailed it first time round. Like never, no one ever has to do it again. You'll never surpass it.
Definitely. And I guess I appreciate she was not going just for a straight up gown made of money. She tried to go for the tree, but not for me.
I don't know. Also, palm trees in LA famously are full of rats. So think about that. Think about that over
think
breakfast.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a good
think
heart.
About that.
Think of that, Selena.
All right. Finally, for the crystal ball look, we have a satin sheath dress, which has like gold crystally lining. The sheath dress is kind of ill-fitted. It's strapless and it's kind of falling down. It looks a little baggy.
It's a nice material though. Like, I like it feels quilted or whatever, that material. So I don't know how much of this came as it is. Did she stone it in that way? Is that all she did? I'm not quite sure.
It's trimming. Like, she showed Carson and Rue in the workroom what it was. I mean, like, the pattern with the trim actually, like, looks really good. It just fits poorly. So poorly.
Yeah, I think that's something that she struggled with all season, to be fair. I think she just needs practice on proportionizing. But I didn't hate it.
Oh, yeah. And she listened. Like, she was going to go in and do something else, and they said, do not do that. And
yeah, we all know that's great that they listened.
Listen when they say that.
Yeah, 100%. And you could see her. She was about to make exactly the same mistake that she made last time, which was, let's just wear everything. And then there'll be something in there that they like.
Yeah.
Editing it.
I know that would be my exact approach if I was on this show. I would, yeah.
It's wear everything.
Malaysia. So we have Malaysia's racer suit. It's a super pale pink with some embellishments around the shoulders. It's really simple.
Yeah.
It's very like feminine and gentle looking with a high bouffant wig with some pink highlights in it. I really like this.
See, for
she
me,
is
even,
holding a helmet. She
even
is holding
with the
a helmet,
helmet under her arm, it still doesn't look like a racing costume to me.
That's the only thing that's signaling racer. It could be like Jetson realness. It's just a bodysuit with a bit of silver in the middle. What does that say on the top?
I thought it was giving like take your daughter to work day, like at the
is
racetrack.
Her daughter the helmet?
no, like her daddy's a racer and that's the little outfit. She's the daughter.
She
I thought
cute.
She looks really pretty and cute. I know it's not super racery. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was all right. Yeah. Her next one, then she was the other hairball look. And I think this is a good example of what you needed to wear to do well in the hairball, but not in this version of the ball, because it's just too much hair for me.
You just don't like all the hair. No. Yeah, it's black and white. There's also, black and white with a like long hair, or like mid-calf hair skirt with like a hair bodice with like a white braid embellishment and a cape that's lined with
zebra.
Yeah, is it like zebra meets like jaguar fur? It's a sort of fur that's not really a fur, and then a big black and white bouffant wig. It kind of looks like a Cruella de Vil look in a way.
Native American Cruella de Vil, I feel. there's like the braids kind of look like buffalo horns or something. There's just something that's a bit dream catchery about it.
Yeah, it looks very anachronistic.
It looks like rugs or like, yeah, there's no fashion reference to it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like the other one where she's like, where Lux is saying, you know, it's Mugler inspired. Like, I don't know what that looks like either, but I see what you're getting at. I can see.
Yeah, this is I take your word for it.
Yeah, I get it. Whereas I have no this is just a non-designer putting on clothes and being like, oh, this is fashion, I guess.
Oh, ew. Sorry, I just noticed the long pubic-like orthodontic tendril-looking hairs coming off of the bodice.
I guess it's like unbraided little hair of the braid once it's been braided. Is it? I don't.
Yeah.
This gives me...
I suppose like the idea of that is cool, but you don't want curly, sparse hair. Anywhere.
This just feels to me like, you know, entertaining kids. Why don't you go dress Mammy? Mammy sits on the couch and you just pile things on top of her. And until she can barely like keep them up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, let's put the rug on Mammy. Oh, let's put the phone book on her hat.
Yeah. Or like when you see when you see a low budget fantasy film and they go like, this looks like this was cut out of Hunger Games, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. It's just like, yeah, something that's nonsensical, like from a time that never happened. Yeah, God, we're really bagging on this outfit.
Yeah, actually, I'd like you to move on. I actually can't look at it anymore.
It's okay. and then finally, for the crystal look, we have a ball gown that's cinched like up Empire waist style with like a wide band. It's a white sparkly, very sparkly gown with pink crystal jewels and embellishments up top, and a pink 50s wig. What did we think of this?
I thought it was great. I thought, like, for the fact that she made this herself, and it was better than the two things she brought from home.
Oh yeah, and she doesn't sew. Oh yeah, I forgot she made this. Yeah. Oh, that's unreal. Well then, yeah, then, yeah, that's super impressive.
And I think a great eye for detail, how she embellished the lapel, I think you'd call it, either side of her chest, and the symmetry in it. It just looks really tasteful and not too much. And
the stoning is so impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, we have our great attitude queen.
The sigh. Lucy's face appears on the screen and the sigh happens already.
Like, I have to say, right, so the whole thing...
So this is Lucy LaDuca. We're talking about Lucy LaDuca. Yeah. We're just all reacting to her.
And, like, all I have to say is everything doesn't have to be a bit, right? And as someone who makes everything a bit, like, every interaction in my life is a bit. People will say... And, you know, Erin, you understand.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
not everything has to be a bit. Like, no. But, oh my God, just
I know.
It's got the same try hard energy that we were getting from Rosé and Jan. But, like, I kind of supported Jan left
me
day,
too.
But this is just incessant.
The racer outfit. It is. I'm trying to remember what she said about it. That it was.
She
like
said princess. A lot of things that I think just sounded like good ideas, but I'm not sure actually. Like, I think she came up like, so she said Princess Peach, which I guess I see with the helmet. I guess.
Yeah, and she has said, this big ponytail coming out of the helmet. Yeah.
In this like a kind of anime style, like foam ponytail or something like that, and she's wearing like a silver cat suit, which is kind of like has patches of pink and purple. Are they love hearts? And then with a
She has a heart on the back, heart on the front. She has bows at her knees. She looks like a Sailor Moon villain, I'd
say. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's, she said, oh, I'm kind of like a crash test dummy if that was a sex worker. And I said,
what?
Where?
Okay.
Where?
Sorry, I have to think about that for an
it's
hour.
It's not giving
to try
crash
to figure
test dummy. It's
means.
Not giving sex worker. Like, that is impractical.
No, how is this giving sex worker? Like, a sex worker would never wear this. It would take forever to take it off. And and then you'd be totally vulnerable. There'd be no striptease because you'd just be like, hold on a second.
Let me take my helmet off.
When Kennedy Davenport was like, sorry, I keep referencing back. You know, she said something, it was like, I'm a sex worker and Trey gutted me.
Yeah, after a long night of hooking,
fire, but then I crystallized in the fire. And it was like, yeah, so you had a costume and you just retrofitted a story onto it. Sex worker, Princess Peach, crash test dummy. Like, Princess Peach as a concept is great. A crash test dummy as a concept
is great. Yeah.
You don't need to throw it all into one because you found a blonde wig and you were like, oh, this will sell. Sailor Moon would have been a much better reference for this.
But... yeah, a much better reference. In no way does she look like a crash test dummy. She doesn't really look like anything. I mean, she looks like... if anything, she looks like a Wreck-It Ralph character that wasn't in the film.
And to be honest, it gives more, like, maybe it's the shape of the helmet, or it gives more horse riding than it does motorbike.
Yeah,
riding.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's giving, and the shape of the ponytail looks very Roman.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And I think the second look is also a victim of this, is that, like, she has an idea. And then she's like, great idea. And she ends up, like, all the way down to the fully progressed idea. And then she doesn't at any point think, okay, before I go down this road, is there like maybe something else I could jump off of? Because that last look was like, the first look is like, oh, I'm ended up here, but I actually had all these fun things on my vision board, like crash test dummies and a sex worker. Let me just throw it into the description. On this second look, which is basically a flower crown made of dog poo bags.
Which don't look like dog poo bags. Well, I mean, how do dog poo bags look like dog poo bags without dog poo in them? First note.
Otherwise they're just bags.
Otherwise they're just bags. She's wearing like a peasant top dress, and she has like a cinched tie-up waist, and then just like a skirt. It's a very everyday outfit with doggy bags, which look like little flower appliques attached to her skirt, and the flower crown.
And you know she'll be like, "It'll be great. I'll go down the runway and I'll do my poo face, and the judges will love it."
I know.
100%. But if you're gonna do it,
gonna do this, the poo should be coming out of the bags on her head. Like there should be, she should turn around and there should be like poo dripping on her back or something. And also, why her character seems to not like the poo or the poo bag, but clearly this character loves them because she's covered herself in them. Like, either decide if you love shit or you hate it. That's
the final look. Then was again. I don't get the reference. So she's in a pink, shimmery prom dress with a big boot, like a Bichon Frise wig, and she's crying and she says runner up on it, and she has basically some flowers and tinfoil in her hand.
It's just crying pageant queen, which is like such a cliched
trope.
Look, I've done this for not one but like two different like one woman show posters, like crying like wearing like a crown, and she has a runner up sash. And it really just screws home this idea of like her attitude and her feelings about herself, where she's like, isn't it so funny that I'm the runner up? And it just feels so bitter.
Because there's like there's sort of like a false humility about, oh, I'll put myself as the runner up because that will make me seem more humble. And then what was it, like Miss Garlic 2020, whatever the year was, like, where did you pull that from? Like, what?
Yeah.
That's not funny. That's just a random thing that's quirky. Like,
I know. It's like somebody who's always pushing this, always a bridesmaid narrative about themselves, but they're like ridiculously successful in every aspect of their life. They just happen to have not got married yet. It's like, well, yeah, you don't really feel sorry for you.
Yeah. And also, we've seen this done better. We've seen this been made better. So
even in Snatch Game from Valentina, this was done better.
And she did it twice, and both of her outfits were better than this one.
Yeah. Sasha was up next. She reinterpreted Rue's blue racing jumpsuit as a bodycon dress and an off-the-shoulder sort of bolero with a built-in, which you couldn't call that a bra, a strip across the boobs, would you call it? It was very early 2000s J-Lo, and I thought it was a very clever way of reinterpreting the racing suit as this, like, just, you know,
100%.
Fuck me dress.
Yeah.
The second look, then, is surprisingly campy for Sasha to go for, like, a dime bag of weed. And we've seen, did George's also have a blunt on her head? I feel I've seen a few blunts on the heads. I don't know if I ever really love it. This felt strange for Sasha, but I think everything else was good enough that I gave it a pass.
I really liked it. I like the like that you can see the weed in the skirt, that the skirt is a bag of weed, which I think really fulfills the assignment or meets
Like, we haven't seen much campness from Sasha because she's so polished and perfected, so it's a nice to see she's a full-rounded queen.
Definitely, that is definitely, and it is one extra string to her bow, which I think is clever, and it works well across the three looks because she kind of gives you streetwear fashion, she gives you camp in this one, and then in the third look she gives you eleganza, and she's made it herself. You know, and I guess it shows you her full range of fashion and her runways, which is good. But let's talk about Alicia. Her first look was the neon green jumpsuit with the black boots and belt and kind of sort of stripes going through it and the black zip with a black, almost like Manila Luzon wig, long, with a blonde stripe to it. Also holding a helmet, but I guess it was not under the arm. It was kind of, you know, held in her hand.
I mean, the assignment was to look like, to reinterpret Ruth's look. You got to forgive the helmets in this category.
It's okay. And I like that she had relatively cheap looking badges on her arms that denoted her heritage, but I guess that's more authentic to the biker look. So yeah, this was a simple reinterpretation of it, but I think it was still effective.
I like the sort of thong material, like the thong that was there. So when she turned around, it was just like real sexy,
yeah,
like moment that wasn't just you know, I have a great body.
Yeah No, it was super sexy, and it looks like a character. It looks like a person, a whole persona. And I always like neon green. I know Michelle Visage hates it, but I like it. It looks great on her.
Yeah. No, it was good. The second sugar ball look, I didn't love this one as much.
No, me neither. I mean, like, if you look at it for too long, you're just like, okay, she's got a sparkly crystal bodysuit. And then she's taken three pieces of candy and she's put a lollipop on her hip. And then she's got yellow licorice boobs. And then she's taken candy buttons and just wrapped it around her waist. I was surprised they didn't give her more shit for this.
Yeah, me too. It was very simple, especially since she brought it from home. Like, consider what she made for herself compared to this that she brought from home.
That's exactly it. This looks like Rue was, you have all these random items to make a dress.
I know, yeah.
Blue stick, yeah. Hot glue, gun, done. This is the best I could do in the 20 minutes because you made us make three other dresses. That's what it looks like. And then that next piece.
let's talk about the next piece. Yeah.
This was amazing.
She made this? It's so crazy that she made this.
It's just... Yeah. Like, do we think it's better than Utica's sleeping bag dress? I guess that's unconventional materials, the sleeping bag dress. I know she adorned the spine and all this, but I guess the base material in this was nicer than the sleeping bag. So I guess Utica's is probably more successful. But this is just so striking. And the shiny, sort of like pearlescent, almost bone side structures up the arms and up the back, and the mermaid cut and just the rose gold. But this
material is super heavy sequined material, and because she was making it, she wouldn't have had time to line it. So when she said that it was painful, I really, really believe that. But this material is so, I just started learning how to sew, and with the sewing machine. But this material is so hard to work with. It's super heavy, and it's also stretchy material, which is tough. But what she's done so cleverly is she's adorned the back of it with a crystal spine, and then on her arms she has crystals going down her arms, and it's perfect, really. Yeah,
conceptually it's amazing. The like we've seen, you know, Darien Lake, when they had their crystal ball, just the snagging, drooping, and not fitting their body. And to be able to do that with this and also have like a concept around, you know, the bone is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also I loved the low cut neck of it.
Made
it really unique and original. And obviously she has that butterfly on her chest
butterfly,
as well.
It looks great. It looks like sci-fi Sunset Boulevard. Kind of like death is emerging out of her in a beautiful way.
Beautiful way. Yeah. That's all the looks then. So in the safe was Lux and Marsha and Malaysia. In the bottom was Spice and Selena. In the top was Anitra, Mistress and Sasha. And then Lucy was kind of floating somewhere in the middle. It was unclear. I thought they were saying she was low, but then they said that she was the third runner-up. So I thought, so are you saying she's fourth? I personally think Mistress should have won the challenge. Like, I think Mistress had the better looks in the first two categories. And then Anitra had the best third look. So I would have probably on the balance. And I thought Mistress's third look was also really good. So I would have given it to Mistress personally.
I can see that. I do. Like, I liked Sasha's third look better than Mistress's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Anitra just blew everything out of the water. Like, titties for that.
But also, they normally heavily weight the one that they make themselves. And if you take that into a factor, so yeah. I kind of felt was unfair that Sasha won. Because even Sasha's given that moment on the runway to talk about the House of Colby and how they embraced her and stuff like that. And you kind of see, I kind of was like, that's kind of setting her up for the win, I wonder. But like, well, look, Ben, thank you so much for joining us here at Sissy That Pod. Do you have anything you want to shout out you've got coming up or anything like that?
I guess just come see us in Mob Theatre on a Thursday.
Yeah, every Thursday night.
Every Thursday night. I'm in another improv group called Autocorrect as well. We put on shows the last Friday of the month in the Pearce Centre, so check us out on Instagram.
Also, if I may plug, if you are in Dublin and you want to get into learning how to do comedy or writing, or you just want to try something challenging and meet cool new people like Ben, who has very beautiful hair, that's his only value. Not his wonderful personality, talent, or humor, smarts, or anything. We have new improv classes on mobtheatre.ie. You know, all levels welcome, and that's super fun.
So episode 9 down, 8 queens remaining, and 1 40-minute episode left before we're back to the 90-minute format. Did you have a chance to think of your favorite moments throughout that episode?
I did. I wasn't paying attention at all in our conversation. I was just thinking about this moment. And I'm going to go with Jinx Monsoon's Delusion commercial. Found it very relatable, resonated, enjoyed it. Yeah.
That is great. That is very good. And Jinx, I mean, everything Jinx touches is instant classic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. Join us back here next Monday. Until then, have a lovely week. Yeah. See you. Love you. Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.